For decades, a broad swath of American feminism has tried to crack down on prostitution by punishing the johns and pimps who hire prostitutes. But some sex workers and activists say these laws don't protect women. In fact, they may make it more difficult for women in the sex trade to leave and make women less likely to go to the police for protection from dangerous pimps or clients. Emily Bazelon is a Truman Capote Fellow for Creative Writing and the Law at Yale Law School. In her latest piece for the New York Times Magazine, she profiles the growing push for decriminalization of the sex trade. Emily joins us by way of Skype today. Emily, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with terminology. In your article, you refer to prostitution as sex work, saying that's the preferred term for people in this business. Can you tell us a bit about where the phrase came from and why?
It came from a woman named Carol Lee in the 1970s, and it was part of what's called the sex positive movement within feminism. The idea here was that prostitution was a form of labor. That's the work part of sex work. And that it was not necessarily inherently demeaning to women, that women could make a choice to do it, and that you didn't have to necessarily think of women selling their bodies as selling their humanity or selling themselves. There could be situations in which people would choose to do this work, and it could be a legitimate paid transaction from a feminist point of view.
How has this debate affected the feminist movement?
It's incredibly divisive. I write about other contentious issues like reproductive rights, but feminists are generally united on that topic. And this was maybe the angriest I have seen real self-defining feminists at each other in this debate. There is just this feeling. There's a feeling from the point of view of sex worker activists that decriminalization would be the best thing for their health, for making what they do safer, for preventing the spread of AIDS. There's some really good research that backs them up on that. And they even think that it could help to prevent trafficking, because if you bring the industry above ground, then you make it easier for people to report abuses. That's their argument. On the other side are people who sometimes call themselves abolitionists, and they're deliberately invoking the history of the war against slavery because they see prostitution. They do not use the word sex work. They see prostitution as a terrible social ill, and they think that the job of feminism should be to eradicate it, not make it safer.
Let me ask you, what led you to cover this topic?
What got me started was a recommendation by Amnesty International last summer in favor of decriminalizing prostitution or sex work around the world. I didn't know very much about this issue, and I had not thought of it before as a human rights concern. So Amnesty's stand took me by surprise and made me want to start looking into why Amnesty would view decriminalizing sex work as important for the development of people's human rights.
You say that more than 55,000 people in the United States are arrested for prostitution each year. Is that right?
That is right. The number has declined somewhat in the last several years. One of the things that struck me about that statistic is that 2/3 of the people arrested are women, and that's unusual. For most crimes, the majority of people who are arrested are men. But this is an area in which women are still much more frequently arrested for engaging in prostitution than men are for patronizing prostitutes. And the risk of arrest is especially high for women of color and low-income women and transgender women.
You say that this arrest rate makes us one of the most aggressive countries in the world when it comes to criminalizing sex work. How did we get here?
That actually is a story that starts in the early 20th century. So if you go back further to the 19th century, there were red light districts in lots of towns and cities in America. It was sort of, you know, the saloon, the brothel was part of particularly frontier culture. Then you start to see in the early 20th century a concern about what was called the white slave trade, the idea that women were being coerced against their will. We would use the word trafficked now, that women were being kind of smuggled across state borders. And so that led to the passage of the Mann Act, which made it a crime to transport someone for the purposes of prostitution across a state border. And that's really where you start to see the criminalization of prostitution in the United States.
Almost 3,300 people in New York City alone were arrested for prostitution or for loitering for the purposes of prostitution in 2014 and 2015. With so many arrests, some feminists have talked about arresting johns and pimps rather than people selling sex directly. What's the argument in favor of that?
The argument in favor is that sex work is a source of sexual inequality, that it is inherently demeaning toward women, and so we should punish men. We should make it against the law for them to buy sex, and that will help reduce demand for prostitution and send a signal that this is not a legitimate practice. The country that has gone the furthest in this direction is Sweden, and there are some other countries, Norway, France, has just followed suit. And so the idea is to sort of flip the dynamic of the criminal justice system. I should say this is not a model that sex worker activists support, because as it has played out in Sweden and Norway, it has actually been quite punitive toward women.
So you're saying sex workers you spoke to say that it's punitive to them?
That's right. And this might seem kind of surprising, because if you're arresting men, then what's the problem for the women who are doing the sex work? The answer is that in Sweden and Norway, men actually are fined. They're not arrested. They don't go to jail. And many of the sex workers are immigrants. And so when the police have a reason to come in and check their documents, they often wind up being deported. Women who do sex work also complain that men have gotten more furtive in their behavior. Since they're worried about getting arrested, they tend to want to go off into a remote or unsafe place. And there was a Bulgarian sex worker who was brutally murdered in a remote harbor in Oslo last winter. And so those are a couple of the ways in which this law may have a set of unintended consequences for women who do sex work.
Some activists point to the problems with legalization of sex work in places like Germany or in rural Nevada. The sex trade in those places often have strict regulations. Many of the advocates you spoke to said they want to see decriminalization of the trade instead. What's the difference?
That's such a great question. It's slightly complicated, but I started thinking of Germany as sort of the worst of both worlds. Germany has very different local regulations about sex work in different cities. But in general, it's pretty restricted. And that means you tend to need a lot of money to set up a brothel. And that has given an advantage to big corporate enterprises and given rise to 12-story mega brothels in certain cities, which are following the rules and regulations closely, but are not places of great autonomy for the women who work in them. Then you have outside of that market an illegal market, because if you're not in these licensed brothels, it's still against the law to do sex work. And that market tends to be underground. It's a lot of migrant women, and it's unsafe. The women are there because of the demand. Germany has turned into a hotspot for sex tourism in Europe, but they're not in a controlled, safe environment. And so they can be really at risk.